Thank you, Chair. And thank you also to the expert mechanism for inviting me to take part in this panel today. I extend my respect and appreciation to the other panelists, and I look forward also to hearing from participants today. Mr. Deer just spoke about Desque's journey to the League of Nations to share his people's expressions of autonomy and self-determination in the face of colonialism and imperialism. At this time last year, we marked the centennial of Desque's journey. As so clearly described by Mr. Deer, the story of the Desque's proof of the long history of Indigenous peoples' advocacy to have their voices heard in international fora. In Canada, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples Act was intended to be a bridge of reconciliation offered across our society by an Indigenous member of Parliament to remedy our own history of colonialism and injustice. I'm proud to say that this legislation was enacted 3 years ago. And remarkably, despite warnings from some corners, the sky didn't fall when this law was passed. In fact, over the decades since Canada's constitution enshrined Aboriginal rights in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, Canada and Canadians have built upon the Charter's vision so that our understanding of human rights now also embraces and upholds respect for Indigenous rights. While we continue to strive to make advances, we are just a humble example of how upholding human rights standards, including Indigenous rights, makes a society stronger and helps bring society together rather than driving it apart. We're also an example of how expressions of Indigenous people's self-determination do not infringe on state sovereignty. In line with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the outcome document of the World Conference of Indigenous Peoples, and the Quito outcome document, Canada believes that a new participatory status, one that affirms Indigenous peoples' recognized right to self-determination, separate from civil society and non-governmental organizations, must be implemented to empower Indigenous peoples to participate in all UN fora. We must continue to push, in concert with Indigenous partners, for the creation of this new status here in Geneva, where we're pleased to have been selected to co-facilitate intersessional meetings alongside with Australia and the Indigenous Peoples Caucus, and in New York at UN headquarters. Canada stands ready to help advance these discussions and looks forward to a positive, inclusive outcome. In addition to this process, Canada encourages all member states to support the Indigenous Coordinating Body, the UN Voluntary Fund for Indigenous Peoples, and the Indigenous Fellowship Program to further facilitate Indigenous peoples' participation. Canada's approach is informed by the recommendations of the 2022 OHCHR Expert Workshop to discuss possible ways to enhance the participation of Indigenous peoples, as well as by extensive engagements with a working group of Indigenous partners to co-develop principles surrounding venues of participation, participation modalities, accreditation mechanisms, and accreditation criteria. As a result, in lockstep with Indigenous partners, Canada remains prepared to present practical and concrete proposals on how to make enhanced participation a reality. As a general practice, we also integrate this working group's input into our positions in Human Rights Council and General Assembly negotiations on resolutions and in other UN negotiation spaces. Canada also has a permanent bilateral mechanism with First Nations, Inuit, and Métis leaders, and constructive agreements with Indigenous urban youth and women's organizations. These different collaborative working methods are small examples of enhanced participation in practice, and I truly believe that they can be a model of what is possible to deliver enhanced and meaningful participation of Indigenous peoples at the UN. In the upcoming 2HRC intersessional meetings on enhanced participation, Canada hopes for productive discussions on clear, detailed, and concrete proposals for how to achieve enhanced participation in both the short and the long terms. We view these intersessional meetings as an opportunity to find how enhanced participation can be operationalized at the HRC beyond continued expressions of support. I'd like to reiterate some recommendations from the OHCHR report following the 2022 workshop on enhanced participation, recommendations that Canada supports. With respect to an independent accreditation mechanism, We'd like to see it led by Indigenous peoples representatives from the seven socio-cultural regions. If states were to be part of this new mechanism, they should not have veto power over decision-making. The mechanism should instead make transparent decisions by simple majority that are final and not subject to validation by other bodies. Indigenous peoples who request might be rejected should be provided with the reasons for the rejection with an option to appeal. Decisions of the mechanism should be based on the fundamental principles of self-determination and self-identification and uphold the collective nature of Indigenous rights. Some have asked how accreditation can even be possible without a definition of Indigenous peoples. Canada supports the recommendations stemming from the 2022 workshop that first and foremost, criteria should be based on the rights of self-identification and self-determination and be flexible to account for the diversity of Indigenous peoples. This includes, but is not limited to, Indigenous governments, Indigenous parliaments, councils, assemblies, and traditional authorities. Other important recommended criteria include being descended from and belonging to an Indigenous people and being accepted as such by that Indigenous people, alongside representativeness of and accountability to the Indigenous people represented. Finally, I would add that this HRC enhanced participation process should not result in anything less than the rights that have been affirmed in the UNDRIP. In closing, Canada views it as essential that Indigenous peoples be heard in international venues so that we may achieve one of the aims of this institution, international cooperation in solving pressing global challenges. Simply put, rather than presenting an obstacle to progress, Indigenous peoples present solutions and alternate perspectives to create better outcomes for all. Canada will continue working productively with states and Indigenous partners through the various Geneva-based and New York-based UN human rights processes to reach our goal of fully enabling the participation of Indigenous peoples at the UN. And we hope that you'll join us on this long overdue journey. I thank you.